Good afternoon.
So many wonderful different songs led. It's funny because a lot of times I don't really like to do themes for our song service because it seems like there's always that one song someone wants to hear or one song someone wants to sing but just never has the opportunity to do it. And so I kind of prefer just to let the people pick which songs they want rather than me tell them we're going to talk about heaven. But every time I've done a theme, I've done on heaven. So just, you know. But we're in Matthew 7 this afternoon, really briefly. And so if you'd like to go and turn your Bibles there, it's page 1118 or 1118. And I'd like to talk about it. And if you don't know, my wife and daughters, they introduced me to this wonderful social media thing, and it is social media, called Pinterest. And so they've got a lot of neat little... I see some weird faces. Okay, listen. They've got some neat things on there. And on occasion, something pops up that makes me think. That is what happened here with this. How people in our world today read the Bible. And you have that lovely little judge not. That's circled, it's highlighted, and everything else is marked out. Well, as you see from looking at Matthew 7 in your Bibles, there's a lot more there. But this is the section of Scripture where it talks about judge not, where the guy is looking there and he's like, you have a log in your eye and you're trying to reach out and pull the speck out of someone else's eye. Obviously, that's not working. But the actual verses there, Matthew 7 verses 1 and 2, say, judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it will be measured to you. And what that's basically saying is whatever judgment you bring forth, whatever measurement you bring forth, that is the exact same thing that's going to be applied to you. That doesn't mean you can get away with judging no one. That doesn't mean you can get away without having a standard or having a measurement. Because what Matthew 7 goes on to tell us are some of God's standards and some of God's measurements. And one of the great passages here is in Matthew 7, verse 15. And in it, we can determine how we tell what a false prophet is. So look at that with me. Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. So we do have a standard that's being brought out. How do we recognize a false prophet? It's not easy. Because when you first see a false prophet, what do they look like? A sheep. They look like one of us. They don't look any different. They're gentle, they're kind, they're loving, they're God-fearing, they know their Bible, they bring stuff out, they talk about it, they're interacting with us. They're not doing anything different. You're not going to know them by their initial appearance. That's not how you tell if someone is a ravenous wolf or not. And the Bible does give us some, you know, warnings. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. We have to realize that there are people out there who are prowlers. They're prowling around. They're waiting to devour. And that is something we need to be aware of. But how do we recognize them? How do we know what they are? Well, what Jesus tells us is that eventually, whatever's inside of them, that's going to come out. You're going to see their external fruit. What's internal won't always stay inside. And so if they are a ravenous wolf, there is going to be fruit that's going to be evident, that we can all see. Now, if you think about this, this is brought up several places in the Bible. If you remember, when Paul left Galatia, he goes away and just for a limited time, within a space of a month to 3 months, he has the whole half the congregation falling away. And so he comes back and he talks to them about what kind of gospel they're following. They're following a gospel contrary to the one he taught them. They're following a perverted gospel it talks about in Galatians 1. And he comes and he tells them, there's a difference between the people who are leading you astray and the people who are teaching you correctly. And he points them to Galatians 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, things like these. I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And again, I like that passage because Paul's telling them, look, you know how I acted among you, how Silas acted among you, how Timothy acted among you, our three favorite guys there. You know how we acted among you. You've seen our actions. Did we act like this? Pay attention to the people who are teaching you. Because what you're going to see is you're going to see people who are acting inappropriate. And again, that's according to God's standards. And I think it's pretty obvious. If we see a person caught up in immorality, impurity, sensuality, enmity, strife, jealousy, all this stuff, envy, drunkenness, orgies, you know, we see that kind of stuff, especially when it comes to like sexual immorality, we know, and we can talk to them, and they're going to admit, you know, I'm doing wrong. The only one I kind of have a problem with, or I run into sometimes, is people who have the jealousy aspect. People who have fits of anger, rivalry. That sometimes gets hard to work people through. Sometimes when people get caught up in drunkenness, that's very hard to work through. I don't know how many of you have ever tried to study with someone who starts talking about their right and how they have the right to drink, and it's their privilege that's given to them by God, and you're working backwards. Because you have to talk to them about, okay, well, what about being sober-minded and not doing anything to keep you from being watchful, not losing sight of that? Or Proverbs 20, where wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, whoever is led astray by it is not wise. And you have to start talking to them and get them to realize that the choice they are doing isn't just affecting them, but it's also teaching others. And understand, that's the criticism here as much as anything. It's not just that you yourself believe something, but it's by your actions, what you are doing, or what these people are doing, you're identifying them as false prophets, false teachers. They are leading others astray. Remember what Paul says in regards to that? And he's talking about meat and idols. If it causes my brother to sin, I will not do it. And that's something we need to think about in all these things. If we're thinking about a false prophet, though, eventually you're going to see a pattern. You're going to see something that's there that's recognizable, that you can say, this person is leading people astray. Now, here's the thing, though. That's only one side of the coin. I know I jumped ahead there and started trying to bring us into it. But remember, when we talk about Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2, it's not just the other guy we're talking about. It's not just us standing back and going, that person's a false prophet. But it's us taking a moment to look at ourselves, to consider our own fruit. What exactly are we bringing out? What exactly are we doing? You know, when you look at James 1, 23 through 24, it really does provide a good context. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror, and after observing himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. I have a benefit with mirrors. I can shave my head, and unless I cut it, I don't have to look at myself again. If I cut it, then I got a different issue because people freak out when they see the blood coming down my ear. But, that's a real story. But, when it comes to Scripture, here's the deal. Scripture is a mirror for us. Scripture will show us exactly what we look like. It will show us what we're doing right. It'll show us what we're doing wrong. And we have to do something about it. And if you recognize you're doing something wrong based off Scripture and you walk away, then you're choosing the path and the doctrine of false teachers. You're choosing the path, and Brother Dan was talking about this with me after services this morning, got stuck in my head, but just the doctrine of demons like it talks about in James. It's that earthly doctrine, that earthly wisdom, where you don't pay attention to what God says, and you only pay attention to what men say. So that's why Paul tells the Corinthians, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Can't you see for yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless you actually fail the test, which is pretty scary. But brethren, that first part of Galatians 6 says, each one should test his own work. And we have the ability to look at our fruit. We have the ability to know exactly what our fruit looks like and to know whether it's good or bad. Well, of course, we're in Galatians 6. We might as well talk about that good fruit, right? What does good fruit look like? What will you see in your life? This wonderful passage we brought up in VBS so many years ago, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. They've put the flesh to death. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. That's not what you see with the fruit of the Spirit. So if God is in us, if Christ is in us, if the Spirit is dwelling in us, then we're going to have that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. We're going to be gentle. We're going to have the self-control. That is what is in our lives. And that is what is going to come out of us. Does that make sense? That's the kind of fruit we should have. So here's the thing. And I added this section in because at one time or another, this is applied to me. What if you look at your fruit? And that means you take the time to actually think about, this is the type of fruit I have. You look at your fruit, and you don't really see that love, joy, peace, patience stuff. It's not really there. On the same token, you don't have envy, you don't have strife, you don't have orgies, you don't have any of that stuff. But you don't have good fruit. You don't really have bad fruit. You're not doing anything wrong. In your own mind, in the world's mind, that's okay. But that's not acceptable to God. You have to have good fruit. You can't be not good and not bad, neither cold nor hot. Right? Do you guys know where I'm going with this? Because the Bible says, Jesus says, I know your deeds. You are neither cold nor hot. You don't have good fruit, you don't have bad fruit. How I wish you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. That's from Jesus. We need to have good fruit. And we need to make sure that is what we're bringing out each and every day. Now, what I normally do when I present a lesson is to give you the points up front and work through them so you guys know where we're going. But what we basically talked about in the last 5 minutes is some basic things. God in Christ has a judgment. There is a measurement. When he says judge not, he wants us all to understand we don't bring up our own standards. We use God's standards and God's measurements. God's standards and measurements lets us recognize false teachers, lets us recognize people who are teaching error, lets us recognize people that are going away from the standard that is given to us in God and Christ. It also allows us to measure ourselves. We know how we act. We know what we look like in that mirror. And Lord willing, every last one of us looks like a Christian. Now, the application is really simple. What type of fruit do we have? when you look at your life, what type of fruit do you see? And if it's not the type of fruit that needs to be there, then we need to change it. Make sense? It's interaction. Yes, no? Does it make sense? Okay. Good. All right. So invitation song, and again, that was just the thought of encouragement, is only a step. Brother Tim's going to lead us in this, where it says, hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. If you are a Christian and you're in need of encouragement, and this doesn't have anything to do with sin, I always try to offer this. Please come forward or in some way, shape, or form, let us know that you are discouraged, that you are fighting things and you need help, and we can pray for you. If you are a Christian and you're stumbling, you're falling down and you need help, you don't have the fruit you're supposed to have in this context, let us know. We can pray for you and you can be restored. And if you are not a Christian, you have a wonderful opportunity to partake of what God is offering to you, to partake of Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection, to be baptized to him, and to be his adopted son or daughter. If any of these apply to you, come forward now as we stand and as we sing.